Hi, GGB gang. This is Ange and Ari, and we have a question for you guys. Do you want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that lets you make one so easily, and then you can distribute it everywhere and even earn money. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer, so no matter what your setup's like, whether you're at home or out in the studio, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free with no catch. Ever since we discovered Spotify for Podcasters, you guys, it has changed the game. I mean, we're able to do video podcasts without just having to do audio podcasts. And we're able to do Q&As and polls at the end. And it has just brought us so close to you guys and really created a community feel. So we really recommend that you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. We love you. God bless you.
Gizembalo!
Wait, why am I holding it like I'm a singer?
I'm telling you, the past two times I'm sitting there holding it like this, it's really bad. What's up, you guys? Love you so much.
We love you so much.
So we were actually supposed to have a guest today. It didn't work out.
He never showed up, so we're going off the cuff today.
Yeah, and we did a poll, and we have so many questions, and so we're just thinking, should we do another advice session? Like, that's what everybody messaged us saying that they want.
Yeah, I think we're going to do a little bit of that, speak a little bit on the secular music and spiritual warfare.
Yeah, and then we also wanted to do something called Jesus for Dummies. Right?
Yeah, because I was a little dummy
in general. All this. In general, or when it comes to Jesus?
Well, I did say characteristic in the manuscript. So.
Cutest thing in the world.
Anyways.
So.
Yeah, I think Jesus for Dummies.
How do you get with Jesus?
How do you get down with that guy?
I don't know what comes out of my mouth sometimes when we start this podcast, and this is who I am, but I will start to say, I don't know, some interesting stuff. All right, so how do you start walking with Jesus when you don't know anything? Like, say you've never grown up in the church, you don't know anything, you don't know about God, and you don't have any Christian friends. What do you do?
I would say start just sitting in the church, prayer.
Yeah.
I think prayer is the best, and that just leads you to bigger things like sermons, and that's what I did. I had no idea what to do. You know, when I was down bad, I was like, I don't know where to go, what to do. And there was this little church by my house, and I would just go in there and sit there for hours and just pray and just ask. Ask and you shall receive, really.
Amen.
And so I would just start praying, and then I started watching videos on sermons, which completely changed my life. Mm-hmm. And then I just started praying and asking for what I wanted, and all of a sudden, everything I was praying for, he was bringing it to me, and I was like, oh my God, is this magic? Love you so much, Jesus. But yeah, don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that if you don't know anything about God or about Jesus, I think the first place to go is into the Bible. I am number one Bible thumper. Like,
you
champion
got me
for the
into
Bible,
the Bible.
Because it's everything.
Changed my life.
Because it's God's word. That's him. That's like, if you want to get close to him, that's how you're going to get close to him, is by reading the Bible.
If you want your day to be completely different, you wake up in the morning and read even just a chapter of the Bible. What is that Bible that you told me to get that I got? Do you know the name of it? Because people were asking about that.
I can put it in it's from Amazon. It's a New King James Version study Bible. And
super
it's,
easy read.
It's unbelievable. It has like pictures, it has explanations, mm-hmm. and then it has like half of the Bible is like the actual scripture, and then the bottom half is an explanation of everything. And it's so, I remember when I first got that Bible, I opened it, and for the first time, I literally go, I understand. Mm-hmm. I get it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm reading and I feel like I can see it playing out in my mind. And I was like reading it as if I'd already read it before, whatever book I was in. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know, like I it's really easy to read. And so I'll put it in the bio for people.
I also want to say one thing. I know I talked about how I grew up Catholic. the Catholic churches were always really hard for me to understand, the masses, yeah. although they're so beautiful. I started going to the Christian churches, which was much more easy for me to understand, the yeah. pastors and things like that. But yeah,
I struggle with that.
Me too.
Okay. And let's talk about it, 'cause I don't really know. So I grew up Catholic and I love the Catholic church.
Me too.
I want to get married in a Catholic church. I want to I love going to mass. I try to go every week. I go to, I'll go to different types of services, but I try to go at least once a week. But I love the Christian church, and you're not supposed to go to other churches if you're Catholic.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then I'm just like, I don't care about the denominations.
It's all Jesus. It's Jesus.
If you're teaching out of the Bible, I don't care what Baptist, whatever denomination you're from. Like, you know what I mean?
Her and I, we would go to the church Sunday, Christian church, and then after we would go to the mass and just sit there and pray.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't believe there's anything wrong with that.
I think so too. And then I also, so we're going to go to Jerusalem this summer, and I really want to get baptized in the Jordan River.
Me too.
I don't think we're supposed to.
Wait, can we baptize each other? Can I dunk your head?
Wait,
laughing the whole time.
Can we please baptize each other? We have to. I look to you as if you know.
Morgan, would you want to baptize us?
Can I baptize you, Morgan?
Morgan will dunk our heads.
I know. Morgan would be
we'll be
Morgan
choking.
Would be ripping his jewel like
Yeah, Morgan will be ripping his jewel as he's baptizing us. No, but I don't know. Well, I actually told someone, I was talking about, what was that photo that you love of Jesus?
The Sacred Heart.
The Sacred Heart.
And it's like Jesus with a little Sacred Heart.
And they were like, well, I thought you were Christian. And I was like, I mean, it's Jesus. And he's like, you believe in purgatory? Is that the right word?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I don't really pay attention. Every time I meet a Christian, they're like, oh, Catholicism's stupid. Every time I meet a Catholic, they're like, Christianity is stupid. And I'm like, Jesus doesn't want to hear this, all right? He's like not interested in any of this stuff. So I don't know. It's interesting. But let's talk about something that has been so heavy on my heart. And that
is... What's wrong with this thing?
All right. That is secular music.
Well, I think you have a more difficult time with it because, I mean, me too. We love our Rick Ross, right? We get down with that guy. But
it's not who I what are you expecting what are you to say?
I love Rick Ross. All right,
I really do.
All right, go ahead. I want to be his friend.
Wouldn't he be fun
to hang out with?
Honestly, let's hit him up. Maybe he'll come on the podcast.
Okay, Rick Ross. Never mind, sorry. All right.
Anyway. This is what happens when you don't have a plan.
I am a huge country girl, so that's really all I listen to.
Yeah, you don't have a problem with that. You only really listen to rap when you're around me. And I grew up listening to hip-hop. It's like my whole childhood.
I'm so sorry.
What?
I was just picturing us in the car last weekend. When we.
On the way. Okay, let's be honest.
She's to Atlanta, Vegas. We know every word.
We're on the way back from Stagecoach. I don't know what we're listening to, but me and Ariel had a moment of literal conviction at the same time as one another. There was a lyric that was really not great, and we sang it at the top of our lungs together. We both look at each other and go,
okay, let's put on the sermon.
We need to put on worship. Like, it was so, we literally felt in that moment, like, what are we singing right now? This is so bad.
Yeah.
And our producer, Morgan, actually asked us when I got in, because I mentioned secular music last time, and he was like, I listen to everything that you guys say, I hope. I listen to everything that you guys say, but when you said secular music and that hip-hop is bad, like, that really got me thinking, and I had to look up what secular music is.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the thing about music. Music, TV, media, movies, everything that we take in, there's something called the eye gates and the ear gates, and that's how we take in spiritual stuff, energy, whatever people want to call it. Everything is spiritual. Everything we listen to, everything we watch, everything we read, there's a spirit behind
Absolutely.
It. There's either going to be the spirit of Christ or there's going to be the spirit of Antichrist. And the thing with secular music is that there is secular music that's like not worship music that's not necessarily bad for you or demonic, but there's songs that are clearly so unbelievably demonic. If it's simply about money, sex, drugs,
hoes. Sorry.
Hoes,
hey,
violence.
We're not Girls Gone Bible for no reason.
I know, seriously.
All right.
If it's that stuff, like, that's clearly demonic. It's really bad for you to take that stuff in. And I have such an issue with it because I love hip hop. I love that music. Even the music that's not that blatantly demonic, some of it still isn't good for you.
And the rap is so different now than it was back then, like the Tupac and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I will literally feel sick when I will, even watching reality shows, I feel like a sickness. Yeah.
Well, listen to this moment that I had the other day. And this was like a big deal in my life. I had a huge like revelation with God. So I'm in the car and I'm driving and I have some type of music on. I have a song on. And I feel God starting to say to me, turn it off, turn it off. And I know it's him. And I'm trying so hard with everything in my body to ignore him. Because I'm like, no, like I don't. I love this. I'm not ready. It's like a death. Like I'm not ready to let go of that music. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds really dramatic, but it is. Like I'm like, and so I'm ignoring him and I'm trying. And it gets so loud that I'm like, I change it. And then I put on a worship song. And then I hear him again be like, no, silent. Like, turn it all off. And I'm like, okay. And I turn it, and I'm driving in silence for a second. And I literally hear him go, this is the root of all of your problems. Mm-hmm. This is where every bad habit, addiction, sinfulness, lust, provocativeness, like everything that I struggle with starts with the music that I listen to. Mm-hmm. And I literally, like, I knew God was saying to me, you can sit there in prayer all day long, reading the Bible all day long. You spend literally 60% of your day doing that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but the other time you spend listening to this garbage. And so it's like it all goes out the window. And I knew in that moment, like, I have to do something. So I did a week with no secular music.
What were you listening to? Morgan Wallen?
I was listening. Yeah, I was still listening to country, but like not even as much. Like, I was trying to really only listen worship. To worship. Mm-hmm. When I tell you, I literally felt a connection to God that I haven't felt in a long time. Mm-hmm. I could hear him again. And I can always hear him. But it really, stuff like that will, it like muddles it. Like, I can't, it's not as clear. It gets really cloudy. I was hearing God so clearly that in any given situation, I didn't even have to pray about it. I just knew. I knew what to do. I knew what he wanted from me. I knew what the right thing was. And it wasn't hard. Can you believe that something like secular music that nobody would think about has that much of an effect on you?
Yes.
It's so spiritual. I love scary movies. Psychological thrillers is my favorite thing to act in. Mm-hmm. Which is something we can talk about because people, you know, I've been on American Horror Story and almost everything that I've done has been a thriller or scary or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's my favorite thing to act in. It's my strength. It's what I'm best at. And it's my favorite thing to watch. And I can't watch it anymore. Mm-hmm. I know that, like, whatever's going on in there is coming into here and it affects me. Like, the visuals will stay with me for a while. It's really hard. And then I can't go to the bathroom by myself and I have to sleep at your house. Like, it really is important.
Especially those performances, too. They're so demonic. I can't even believe it.
Yeah, like, the Sam Smith.
I didn't see that one.
Did you not watch that?
No.
He literally got on stage with devil horns and he was doing some, like, it was
unbelievable. And then that's cool in today's culture. I can't believe it. That's why we have to.
You know what's so funny about that is, like, so many people when we're saying, like, oh my, like, he's so brave. Like, you're literally going up there and doing exactly what Hollywood is asking you to do. There's nothing brave about that.
Nothing.
Go up there and, like, say an Our Father prayer or something and I'll think you're brave. Like, don't. You're literally going up there being like, I'm on your side and doing what you want. Like, it's. And this is the thing about dressing up as the devil or glorifying the devil, even if, say, the devil's not even real. Mm-hmm. What does the devil represent? Nothing good, nothing positive. He represents evil and death and just, why, even if he's not real, why are you sending that message out and then calling it brave?
I don't understand. I can't answer that because I can't believe, I mean, it's in cartoons now.
Yeah, it's.
It is bad right now. So that's why we have to really keep our eyes open on what we're watching and what we're listening to.
Ask God for discernment. Ask him to show you the spirit behind everything. That's what I do. And I can see it literally from a mile away. Because everything is pushing an agenda or pushing something onto you, not to get really conspiracy, but like everything is, we just have to be careful.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, that you can't live your life and become, you know, live in a, under a rock and like not listen to anything. You just be aware of it and be aware of like how things make you feel. Mm-hmm. Because I know when I watch or listen to certain things, I can feel afterwards, I'm like my spirit is disturbed.
Yeah.
And on the topic of spiritual stuff and demonic stuff, let's talk about going to the club. And I really want you to tell the story about when you were in Miami and what you felt.
Oh yeah, I was telling Angie this. I was in Devil City,
Miami and Vegas,
you think? Yeah,
Miami. Yeah,
it can also be very relaxing though. So yeah, I was in Miami with my 22-year-old cousin. She dragged me to Live. For anyone that doesn't know, it's a nightclub.
You went to the club?
Going to the club.
Girls gone on the Bible. All right.
So I go in there and I can't even tell you. I had such spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
I was panicked in there. I mean, when you get really close to God, you can see things that you couldn't see before. And I just saw such darkness. Mm-hmm. It was bad. I ended up having a complete panic attack praying in the club, in the middle of the club, just putting my head down. I'm like, Jesus, please get me through this. I ended up leaving right away. But yeah, even the clubs, it's dark, man.
I'm telling you, cut that out. I had to go to Vegas for a work thing at the end of the last year. And I have to go to Vegas for work sometimes, and I absolutely hate Vegas. You literally walk in there and I'm like, ugh. There's something wrong here. Sorry, not to like shit on Vegas, but I had to go out one night, and I don't go to parties. I don't drink, so like I'm not like what am I gonna do at a party?
What do you mean? What are you gonna do? You don't remember when we went out a couple weeks ago?
All right. You want me to start exposing you?
One of our friends go, yo, does she drink? She's having more fun than anyone up in this place.
I do have fun.
It's not a bad thing.
No, I mean, but like, I'll go out. I'll go out with my friends, but not to a club, not to something like that. It's just
disgusting.
If you want
to have a good time, go out with Ange.
We have a good time. Really do. But I went out. I had to go out, and I was at, my spirit was so unbelievably disturbed this night in Vegas that I was sick. Mm-hmm. I was looking around and I felt like God had, I don't know, given me different eyes to see things. Like I felt like I saw, it was, this is really bad, but I felt like it was, instead of seeing people, I was seeing like demons everywhere.
Know.
Like
too.
Literal demons. Me like too. People so under the influence, so messed up, like so on so many drugs, people doing all these drugs in front of me. And I'm just sitting there like, and listen, I live in LA. I've grown up. I've lived a lot of different lives. I've seen a lot of stuff. It's not, I don't even get affected by that stuff anymore. But like this specific night, I was like, this is so bad. Mm-hmm. I was looking around being like, yo, Jesus is going to come back and drown you all. Not me though. He's taking me with him. But like, it was really bad.
And you leave feeling so sick. I felt like I had the flu.
I know. Well, yeah, because it's just all that energy. Everyone's so effed up, and like especially when you're drinking and doing drugs and stuff like that, you know, you literally leave yourself completely open to the enemy to come. Like you
Absolutely.
Have no armor whatsoever. Like you may as well invite him in, because that's what you're doing when you black out and you leave your body like that.
Mm-hmm. Jesus for Dummies. I also want to touch upon sermons, because we got a question on, could you name some of your favorite sermons?
And resources of books and sermons and stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
You know all that stuff. For me, what really helped me was a sermon. His name was Stephen Furlick. He was just so easy to listen to when I knew nothing about faith. And I would just listen to him when I was in a really, really dark place in my life this past year. He helped me so much. He changed my life. Mm. And then Torre Roberts.
He's the best.
Angie and I started going to Potter House. It's a really great church in LA. And he is the most incredible pastor.
Mm-hmm. It's life-changing. If you live in LA, I would really recommend going to Potter's House. It's, you know, so grounded in biblical truth, everything that he says, while also being very inspiring and, like, moving and so delivering. Real. Yeah, and sometimes you, oftentimes I feel like you almost have to choose with pastors. It's like either you get a feel-good, inspiring message, or you get something that's, like, about Jesus and changes right. you and convicts you and slaps you in the face. And that's the type of church that I like. And Torrey is able to do both of those things.
Oh, he's so moving.
I would say T.D. Jakes is one of my favorites. Yeah, Bishop.
Bishop. He's amazing. Why don't you share... I love the story. I think we talked about it in our last podcast, but I just love when you tell the story because... Angie struggled with confidence and being bold, and now she's literally I look up to her so much for her confidence and how bold she is. And why don't you share that sermon that you would listen to?
Yeah, Sarah Jakes Roberts.
That's her.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
You know, thank you, though. No, I would listen to her, and she's really, she will help get you out of a bad spot. I struggled for a little while after I got sober. I was just dealing with a lot of anxiety. It took me a long time to kind of come back into my body. I was mm-hmm. really living on autopilot for a while. Like after I stopped drinking, I probably didn't laugh seriously for like a year almost.
Yeah.
Can you imagine me not laughing? My body was like literally in survival mode. And so I was just a shell of, even after I stopped drinking, I was a shell of a person for a while. It took a minute. And I started listening to her, and her words were just, she would just basically be like, do you know who God is? Do you know who your Savior is? Like, mm-hmm. get up. She has a sermon out there called Get Up. And if I think guys and girls can listen to it, but especially if you're a girl you're struggling with, you know, not feeling like yourself, not feeling good enough, not feeling bold enough or strong enough, mm-hmm. listen to that. It's life-changing. Mm-hmm. Some books that I love, there's a book called The Bait of Satan that is phenomenal. It talks all about how it's really bad to take offense to things, and I think that'd be really good for the time that we're living in right now.
Yeah.
I'll put more resources. I have so many books at home. I'll put them all. More Than a Carpenter is such a good book about Jesus. I'll put them all in the bio, and we can do it like that. But the first book that you should read is the Bible.
I love you. Yeah, I think it's so hard for people to know where to start, especially when they're in just such a bad place. I mean, the both of us, we were down so bad. I was so extremely heartbroken to the point where I couldn't even get up out of bed and go take a shower.
Okay, all right. I really want you to tell this story, and I don't want us to get off track. So one of the questions that we got is someone wanted us to talk about our views on the women like Mary Magdalene. We love Mary Magdalene.
We love her.
Let me give a little backstory about Mary Magdalene. She is one of Jesus's like right hands in the Bible. Mary Magdalene was really, really tormented and messed up with a lot of demons at the time. And the high priest used to come mm-hmm. and try to deliver her from these demons, and nothing would happen. And if the high priest couldn't do it, clearly nobody could. So everybody thought she was a lost cause. And then one day she met Jesus seriously in person, and he went and he put her hands on her head and said, you are mine.
Yeah.
And he called her by name. He said, Mary Magdalene. And mm-hmm. she turns around and goes, how do you know my name? And then he went and put her hand, it's so cute.
It wrecks me. She struggled for so long, and she just couldn't understand why she couldn't get out of it.
Can you tell the story? And then when Ari and I first became friends, we spent a week. I slept over your house almost every single night. We were both down bad at that time. and we watched The Chosen every single night together and fell asleep on the couch. And that's when we learned about Mary Magdalene. And can you tell the story about the shower?
Yeah, my safe place was the shower. I just sit in there and just pray. And that's where I would go when I was heartbroken. And I would have Angie sit outside the shower because we were inseparable. And she would just talk to me. And so I was in the shower and I was like, Ange. I was like, do you think Jesus will save me like he did Mary Magdalene?
I know. And I was like, just ask him. Mm-hmm. Just ask him to.
And she, that he did.
And you close your eyes and, oh my God, it could make me cry. You literally go, Jesus, will you please heal me the way you healed Mary Magdalene?
Yes.
And he came and he did.
He absolutely did.
I was telling her last night, I these are the conversations that we have together. I was looking at you and I was like, do you know who you've become since I've met you? Like,
yeah.
You've always been the Ari that I love, but you are like, I'm not saying that you don't have problems, but you kind of don't have you don't struggle with anything.
I have so much joy and peace in my heart. And that's what God will do. He will bring you to the people that you're supposed to be close with, and they will help you get close to Jesus and then heal you.
I love you so much.
Yeah.
It's been one of the greatest honors of my life watching your walk with God.
Thank you.
And it inspires me so much. My girl.
I know how hard it probably is for some people to like just get up and do it, but I promise you, open the Bible, just walk into church, just get on your knees, pray.
Yeah.
And then I promise you, just from there, everything will come. That God will take care of the rest.
Yeah.
Ask and you shall receive.
Ask and you shall receive.
Trust me.
Seek and you will find.
Absolutely.
Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Call on Jesus. Call in the name of Jesus.
He will do the rest. You don't even have to do anything. Just pray. Ask.
I love you, Jesus, so much. He's the best.
He is so cute.
Let's talk about this.
Hmm.
How to discern God's voice and will. Let's talk about God's voice, because I think this is something that really...
I love this.
I know. I love him. Ugh, I love him. We're so lame.
We're freaks. Morgan, do you think we're freaks?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, no.
Sweet.
God's voice.
I love it so much.
When you tap into that, man.
Can I tell you the first time Okay, so when people think of, like, God's voice, it's different for everyone. What do you think when you think of hearing God's voice? What is that like for you?
Well, I never trusted myself with anything. You know, when you met me, I was like, do I do this? What do I do?
Yeah.
I was so indecisive all the time. But when you really, not to go back to this, but when you start reading the Bible and God's word and really do the work, you will hear him so loud. Mm-hmm. You can just hear that voice in your heart and you will know exactly what to do.
Amen. For me, hearing God's voice is almost like, it's not like I hear a voice that's different than mine. It will come to me as a thought and I will know that it's God, because oftentimes the thought will go against what I, as Angela, want.
Mm.
And that's how you know it's from God. Or it's almost like something is downloaded into my subconscious. Like I will not know something, and then all of a sudden I'll have a deep knowing and understanding of something.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember the first time I remember hearing God's voice for real. I'm sure I heard it throughout my life, but the first time I could really pinpoint it was, I used to go into this little crystal shop by my house, and I used to go buy sage and crystals and blah, blah, all the stuff. And I remember there were these like little sculpture, like what are they called? Like little statue things of all these different gods, right? There's only one God. His name is Jesus. Sorry. There are all these little gods, and there was like God of money, God of whatever. And I saw like probably a God of money one, and I went to go grab it. And I literally got stopped in my tracks. I'm like, and then I hear, all I heard was, no, you don't need that. You don't need that.
Yeah.
And I literally go, okay,
yep.
I don't need that.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I ever remember being obedient to something and being like, oh, I'm not. And I didn't even know that that's an idol. At the time, I wasn't even reading the Bible like that. So I didn't even know that that is bad and we're not supposed to worship stuff like that and whatever. That was the first time. And then so at the end of last year, I went through a breakup, and it was kind of hard, and I was, you know, not happy, obviously. And like, I am so good at getting addicted to things that it's impressive. Like, I give me anything and I'll probably get addicted to it. I love like things to help me sleep. I love melatonin. I gave up melatonin for Lent, actually, and I haven't taken anything since. But like, I will, if I used to have trouble sleeping, I would take NyQuil or something. Mm-hmm. And so I was taking NyQuil for a couple of days, And then all of a sudden, I like was taking NyQuil every night to go to sleep because I felt like I needed it. And I remember I had at the end of this bottle, it was, you know, it's NyQuil and it was a couple, it was like max 2 weeks that I was doing it, but it's still not good. And I don't need it at the end of the day. Like, God will put me to sleep. I don't need to be taking anything. Mm-hmm. And so I go into my bathroom and there was only a little bit left. And I go like this, I go to reach for it. And literally everything in my body stops me. And I heard God so clearly be like, don't drink it. You don't need it. You will go to sleep. I'll help you go to sleep. Break this habit with me right now. Let's break it together. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there with my hand out. If anyone saw me, I would have looked crazy. I'm sitting there with my hand out and I'm wrestling with God. And I'm like, but I, okay, God, but, and like going back and forth with him. And ultimately, I drank it still. Yeah. And I was disobedient. And I was so sad afterwards because I was just like, I'm so sorry. Like, I heard you and I went against it. And it's okay. Like, he's not mad. And yeah. I didn't have any more after that. But, like, in that moment, I was like, what a blessing it is to hear God's voice. And then to ultimately not be obedient to it is insane.
It's the most incredible thing because, like I said, I was the most indecisive person. I did not know how to make decisions. Angie can second that, right?
Initially make the right decision because your gut is right and you are such a smart girl, and like, I will go to you for advice. You're the number one friend I'll go to because I trust you. I trust your mind. I trust your intellect. And so I would see you make the right decision and then go back on it. And
always.
And then ask five people for their opinion. And I'd be like, who cares what they think? You know what's up. You know what to do. Like,
but now it's like the voice is so loud.
Yeah.
I don't have to ask anyone for anything.
And that's the thing with trusting God is when you trust God, you ultimately will trust yourself.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Could go on and on and on about him. How to remain firm in your relationship with Christ even when you're experiencing trouble.
Well, you and I, trouble, like spiritual warfare?
Anything. Just bad things are happening in your life and, you know, you trust God and then all of a sudden a family member gets sick or you lose your job or someone walks out of your life.
I'm a firm believer that life is hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's never easy. It's always going to be a roller coaster ride. But if you have God in your life and you have faith and it all works out for the greater good.
I always think that the sooner you accept this, the sooner you'll be happy. And it's that suffering is a part of life. You're never going to get away from it. Mm-hmm. You're never going to escape it. Bad things are always going to happen mm-hmm. to you. So just ride it. That's the only option that you have. And I think when your walk with Christ gets longer and you've progressed in it and you've been in it with Jesus for longer, you have more experience with it and it's easier to trust. Like where I'm at now, I've just been through too much with God to doubt him. And I do have my moments where I doubt him.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard when a family member needs Jesus and they need saving or there's another area that you're so helpless in and you need God to come through. And because God answers my prayer so quickly, there are times where I'm like, I know that you can answer this. I know that you can come through for me right now and I really need you to. And there are moments where he doesn't answer things the way that I want him to
mm-hmm.
or in the time that I want him to. And those are the moments where I'm like, I've seen this play out before. I've seen every moment in my life that I thought was so bad. I've seen him come through and work it together. Maybe not right away, but he does eventually.
Yeah, always.
And so with that knowledge, with what it says in his word, that he does work all things together for our good and for his glory, and whatever the enemy meant for evil, he will turn for good. I believe him when he says that. I really, truly do. And I have my life experience to back it up. So in the midst of a really bad situation with tears streaming down my face, I look up at the sky and say, Jesus, I trust you still. God, I trust you still.
Mm-hmm.
This situation is bad, but you are good. And just because my circumstances are not looking the way that I want them mm-hmm. to does not mean I'm abandoning you now because mm-hmm. you've never abandoned me.
You will get through it. I mean,
you will. And you know what? I want to be real for a second and not even do the whole like positive thing because I'm just thinking about how like there are times where we're not going to understand God and we're not going to mm-hmm. understand what's happening. And I know there's stuff in my life right now as we speak that like I can come on and do, all right.
Yeah.
We can do the whole like, you know, God will work it out, and he will.
He will.
But there are times where you literally have no choice but to trust him.
Yeah.
Because there actually is no other option. And that's where people come up with the questions of like, well, why does God allow suffering in the world or whatever? After Adam and Eve, because we are born in Adam and Eve's bloodline, sin entered the world through one man, and it infected all of us after him, whether, you know, we're born with it, whether we've sinned or not in our lives. And so because of that, bad things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. God's promise is that he's going to be with us through it. So I hope that that gives you a little bit of comfort. And this is the thing about prayer too, is that don't just pray that God will change your circumstance around you. Pray that he changes you and your reaction to it. Because he might not be able, not that he can't, but like he might not change your circumstance, but he can change the way that you're looking at it. He can give you peace through it.
Yeah. If I didn't go through everything I went through this past couple years, I would not be here right now. I would not be this person that I am right now.
Oh, I know. And what did we read this morning? I want it. Perseverance. Yeah. Okay, so funny that we say that, because this morning we were reading the Bible and I said, God, what do you want us to read? He said Romans 5. And I remember we read this. Romans 5, 3-5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope.
Yeah.
We have to suffer. It is where we grow. It's where the magic actually happens.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't go through all of that pain of losing my stepdad and the heartbreak I did this year, I wouldn't be able to help the people I have, be the person I am.
There's power in our testimony, I know.
It's just, yeah. And there are days, I mean, I called you the other day and I'm like, Ange, is... why don't I have the answers that I still don't have the answers.
No.
I've prayed for a year now for answers that God still hasn't answered for me yet.
And honestly, I've gotten to the point though that I'm like, there's beauty in not knowing. I don't need to know everything.
Yeah.
I really don't. That's what faith is. You know, we hope for things unseen. Like we don't know, and that's okay.
And yeah, and when he doesn't give you the answers, I feel like that's a test.
Yeah.
How strong is your faith? Do you trust me?
That's so true. That was good.
But we're going to talk more about all this. I'm so strong about struggles and heartbreak and just people that are hurting, because I went through so much of that. Mm-hmm. So I really want to keep talking upon that, because I know there's so many people struggling, just heartbroken, hurt, down bad.
Yeah.
And I hope we can be voices for those people and really help them, because if it's anyone who understands, it's us. The alcoholism, I went through so much mental health issues, and
yeah,
God has really cured us in so many ways without medicine, just by prayer and trusting and having faith. So we really hope that we'll keep talking about it.
We should do a whole episode on mental health
for sure.
Really quick, let's talk about New Age spiritualism really quick.
Okay, so I'm going to let you kind of take the reins on this, because I feel like you're better at this. For me, what works is Jesus. I believe that if you're a good person, as long as you believe in something, you know, then okay. I think that that's okay. As long as you believe and you have something to believe in. Take it away, Ange.
Yeah. I just think.
It's okay.
No.
You can be real. I'm drinking Nesquik.
I got that for her last night because she was mad at me, so I stopped and got her some chocolate milk to butter her up. Listen, tarot readings, crystals, let me tell you something.
So readings. I thought we were talking about the universe stuff.
Oh, that too. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right, listen. So I'm Albanian, right? I'm Eastern European. We grew up going to psychics. Like, I was 5 years old. My mother, who is a true God-fearing woman, had no idea that that was wrong. That's why reading the Bible is important. We would go to psychics my whole life. It wasn't until a couple years ago that I was like, I was so convicted by God that this is wrong. First of all, God is God. And if he wants to give somebody the gift of prophesying or seeing things, or you know what I mean, that's his to give. We cannot go outside of him to look for someone to tell us what's going to happen in the future. It's wrong. It's a sin. It's bad. You give someone the permission to, it's prophesying over you, but to do a tarot reading or to predict the future, and they say some crazy thing to you, like you're gonna die in 30 years because of cancer, and then it
manifests it.
Right, and then it happens, and you're like, oh, they were right. Yeah. No, actually, they literally prophesied that over you, and then it came true. You gave them permission.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, mediums and, you know, angel, whatever this stuff is, like, the only spirit that you want to talk to is the Holy Spirit. And absolutely. I'm so firm on that. And like, if you call yourself a Christian and you wear a cross around your neck, that is the one thing I'm telling you, don't play with. It's not okay. And like, you see everything else, I'm a little bit like, I get it. Like, we all, no, you cannot be dealing with stuff like that.
Oh yeah, no. And I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
When you used to go to the psychics, did you ever feel like bad things were happening to you? Because you let in that demonic spirit.
100%.
So many bad things were happening in my life when I would go to these psychics. Guys, stay so far away from them. I didn't know we were going on the tarot card reading topic. It is so bad. When you see that, there is so much of that on TikTok too.
Yeah.
Block that.
Oh, I press not interested every time it comes up.
It is so incredibly dark, you guys. And it also, it's not true. And they'll be talking to you. They'll be like, yeah, he's coming back. He's coming back. You're like, you okay?
No, when they talk about like your spirit guides, those are demons.
Yes.
Those aren't your friends.
It's all darkness.
You don't want to talk to them.
Yeah, that's bad.
And like demons they do have abilities and powers and mm-hmm. the ability to see things and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that. The only power that you want to be dealing with is God. I love you. Seriously, please don't do that. All right?
Trusting and believing in God's timing.
Yes.
Guys.
Take it away, sister.
I did not understand. I was like, what? Okay, first of all, I'm just going to be completely honest here. I cannot wait for the day that I'm a wife and a mother.
You're gonna be the best.
I fantasize about it all the time.
You know, that's from God, right? That dream that you have to be a wife and a mom, and it's beautiful and should be celebrated.
Yeah. And so I obviously thought I was gonna be married and be a mother a while ago, and that didn't happen. So now I'm here with my beautiful best friend doing a podcast. But for this past year, I'm watching everyone around me get engaged and get married, and they're in their beautiful homes with their husbands. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that's where I would be right now.
Yeah.
But now that it's coming to the end of the year, I can see why. And guys, trust in his timing.
Mm.
He is never too late.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me when I tell you that. I now know why I'm not married or I don't have children yet.
Yeah.
It will all come when it's supposed to.
He is never late. That is the best thing I've ever heard. He really isn't. I have such an unshakable faith in his timing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Are you looking at me like that?
I love you.
Me too. The one thing that I really had to learn this year was just faith.
Yeah.
I wish you guys, faith. I had not even an ounce of faith.
Mm-hmm.
When I learned faith, that's when I was just like, all right.
You sit back.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Your timing, not mine.
Mm.
it is not on my time, it is on your time. And I'm going to have faith and I'm going to trust you. And that is when everything started coming in my life.
How, why are
in
we going to...
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
How are we going to trust our own timing? We don't know what we're doing.
We
don't know what we're talking about. There. He knows what's up.
I can see him right now.
Do you think he...
Guys.
Do you think he loves us? I love him.
He's so cute.
Somebody asked how you deal with comparison and jealousy. And you and I both, listen, I'm just going to say it. I'm not saying this to pat ourselves on the back. Neither of us deal with either of these things. I know for me, like, I don't have that competitiveness with other women, like, at all. I don't, and I think it has to do with the fact that, like, my mom growing up, my mom doesn't have a jealous bone in her body, and so I always had a role model who, like, loved other women, and she just was, like, she wants to see everybody do well, even if she doesn't know them, even if she doesn't like them. So I grew up with that, and I also look at it like this. If somebody is being blessed, if they have a good and perfect thing in their life, that's a blessing from God. How could I be jealous of what God is doing in somebody else's life? You know what I mean?
That's right.
Like, if it's a win for them, it's a win for God. And if it's a win for God, it's a win for me.
Absolutely.
I know that's really corny, but
no,
like...
No, it's the truth.
It's how I feel. How could I... what do I... And why would I be jealous? It doesn't make any sense.
There's room for everyone.
There's literally room for everyone. And you have to remember that other people have nothing to do with you. Like, I genuinely mean this, like, a beautiful woman walking in the room simply just doesn't make me feel any less beautiful.
No.
Because she has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. She doesn't take away from anything about me, and absolutely, I don't take away from anything about her.
And beauty is more than just a beautiful woman walking in the room for me. As I got older, I just realized how much more it is. What is your heart like? Mm. It's so much more. That's why I don't ever compare myself to anyone either. Because I know my heart. I know what I have to offer. And it's way more than having good hair and nice lips and...
Yeah, you're the best.
You know.
All right, anyways, you guys. This episode was an absolute blank show because I had no... Our guest didn't come, and then we were like, well, here we go. All right, we love you guys so much.
Love you so much.
We're gonna end it by saying the thing we always say: read the Bible. It's the most important thing. Start and read the Gospels. Romans is the best.
Have faith, trust in God's timing.
He knows what's up. And we love you guys so much. Listen,
and we're gonna put those sermons in the...
Yeah, we'll put everything in the bio.
Yes.
And just never forget that Jesus loves you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Love you guys so much. Girls Gone Bible.
Bye.